Hello and welcome to Germany for the first proper Pinken podcast of the new season, pre-season at the very least. I'm Dave Freezer and alongside me is Paddy Davitt, and we're joined by our regular Norwich City photographer Paul Chesterton of Focus Images, and we're all settling into our, well, Airbnb, as is usually the case, and these boys are a bit better versed to pre-season than me. How does this compare to places you stayed in previous years, Pad?
I think I'm going to put this straight back in your court, Dave, and tell all our wonderful listeners about the shenanigans that have gone on with your living, sleeping arrangements.
That sounds,
They will love it. Go on.
That sounds really leading.
Well, there you go.
Well, we turned up. We got here, what, late Friday night, didn't we? Through five countries. Six for you, wasn't it, Pad? Because we picked you up from Stansted after you'd been in Ireland for a bit. Six countries in one day. I don't think many people can say that, can they? And this place is quite big. It's, what, five, six bedrooms, isn't it? But we very quickly found that there wasn't enough bedrooms for the four of us. We've also got our video man, Tony, with us. Tony Thrussell. You'll hopefully have spotted by now on our social channels, plenty of nice videos from Tony. So basically, we realised there wasn't enough beds, but there was a door locked downstairs, and we eventually got in touch with the Airbnb lady, and it turned out they just hadn't given us the keys to downstairs, but we had to go through all this with a German neighbour who didn't speak a word of English, so that was quite good fun. But Paul, you've got a bit of German, haven't you? You spoke a bit of German at school.
I have a schoolboy knowledge of German, and I make do. I get by. Lots of hand signals and referring to Google Translate.
Other
apps are available.
You're doing yourself down. You've done quite well in the supermarket. Yeah. But yeah, eventually I got in. But then it all transcended yesterday that I was going to have to move out because apparently a couple of workers were moving in for 6 weeks in the flat downstairs where I've now based myself, which is quite nice. But then after I moved out all my stuff this morning, she comes back round and I'm able to stay there for the rest of the week. So, end of the story, we're all right. We're all set up for the week, aren't we?
And we all have our own rooms.
We all have our own rooms. Yeah. And yeah, you two have been in quite close quarters before in previous pre-seasons, haven't you?
Yeah, Cosson was cosy. It's got better every year. It's got a bit more distance. Paddy's now on a floor above me now. We're not even on the same floor now.
So. As opposed to the same couch.
Yeah. That was the minimum requirement to this one.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are very much up to full speed. Hopefully you saw our video from Lippstadt on Saturday afternoon. We took in a little bit of pre-season action there, which of course is Daniel Farke's former club as a coach and as a player. Very friendly guys there. And Paul managed to park in Daniel's old parking spot, apparently. That's what we were told.
The only one available.
The only one available. We got away with it. They haven't got a massive mural of Daniel painted on the car park floor or anything. But the real stuff started on Sunday afternoon. Armenia Bielefeld and a 2-2 draw, and it was pretty lively stuff, wasn't it, Pad?
Certainly was, mate. Yeah. Where do we start? Yeah, I mean, red cards, injury scares. We'll get into that in more detail. Some meaty challenges. I mean, encapsulated Emi Buendia came off about 75 minutes, and on the way off, he had some sort of altercation with was it Voss?
Kloss.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah,
the big lad. Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah. You know, bear in mind it was supposed to be a gentle fitness related run out. It was probably a little bit too competitive. I'm sure that Daniel would have wanted for the first hit, but and we still await, obviously, at this stage. The cost in terms of Ben Godfrey's ankle injury. We're still waiting for the results of those scans. But I don't know. It's hard to assess straight as we're talking now, the day after the game, whether that was a good or a bad first game to have. Pre-season, but it certainly would have brought those players on, and they can do all the double sessions they want at Colney or since they've been out here, but I think they'll need a few more of those along the way to try and get them a little bit more battle-hardened for Anfield.
Let's just take a little step back then. The starting 11, Ralph Farman was in goal, and it was sort of a 4-1-4-1, wasn't it? He had Louis Thompson starting at right back, Jamal Lewis at left back, Grant Hanley and Ben Godfrey in central defence. Kenny McLean was sitting in a slightly deeper midfield role, and then you had Patrick Roberts on the right wing, Emi Buendia on the left, Dennis Trebeni and Moritz Leitner sort of playing in the central roles, although obviously Leitner sat a little bit deeper and Trebeni kicked on and supported Josip Dermich. So that was the team that started. But just to very quickly go through the game, if you haven't caught up on things all unravelled really quickly, didn't they? Louis Thompson limps off after 19 minutes. That turns out to be hamstring. Godfrey goes off about 4 or 5 minutes later. He injured himself in a tackle, which he actually got booked for. He goes off. 30 minutes, they take the lead, Bielefeld. 5 minutes later, they go down to 10 men. One of their players gets a second yellow card. Referee is a very card happy at this point. And soon after that, Norwich took control. Trebeni took advantage of a ridiculously bad throw-in from one of their defenders. Nice finish. Dermich puts Norwich 2-1 ahead with a penalty just before half-time. And then they equalised, Bielefeld equalised with a lovely finish, 86th minute, although Max Aarons maybe got a bit caught out positionally. And then Timo Pukki hit the post late on. Steepman had a couple of chances just before the final whistle. So in the end, it all settled down to 2-2. About 2,300 fans there, about 100 Norwich fans, and they were quite rowdy, weren't they, Paul?
Yeah, they were enjoying themselves, weren't they? Yeah, it's probably the most I've seen in the 4 tours we've done here for a first match. Yeah, well, nice little stadium, tidy little stadium. Kind of looked, because it was a small stadium, they only had the crowd in 2/3, but it made it look a little bit fuller.
Yeah.
And it created a bit of an atmosphere. I think the Bielefeld fans got into it towards the end as well. So it was right. As pre-season friendlies go, well, pre-season matches are hardly a friendly.
Yeah,
quite enjoyed it. Yeah, as you say though, I think there was one team that was on their 4th pre-season match and one team that was just kicking off their pre-season schedule, and it was obvious.
Yeah, there was a fair bit of rust around from the Norwich players, weren't there? Bielefeld had, as Paul says, played 3 games before that. They'd beaten a team from the Czech top division 4-0 in one of those friendlies. So they were up to speed, and Daniel said to you afterwards that they really had taken this seriously, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Love obviously spoken to his counterparts in the Bielefeld camp, and they, by all accounts, it was their biggest test of pre-season. That's how they were treating it, playing Norwich, Premier League Norwich, and to that end they'd apparently approached it as they would a league game. He said they'd done video analysis on Norwich and all the scouting presumably that goes into that. So yeah, I mean, it's maybe a backhanded compliment to Norwich really, but they were, and that intensity I thought was stamped through their performance, even though, you know, they played with 10 men for the thick end of an hour. So credit to them that they kept going, and that probably balanced out the respective differences in where the two clubs are at the minute in terms of pre-season, because I think, you know, if it stayed 11v11, I think Bielefeld probably would have gone on and won that game, and maybe in a roundabout way that was a better scenario for Norwich, because certainly before they equalised very late on, you felt Norwich were able to get that passing flow to their game. Certainly when Tom Tribal came on, I thought they looked a lot better in that regard, and you know, they probably may have got more out of that playing against 10 than they would have against 11, I think.
In terms of players that impressed, I thought Patrick Roberts looked pretty sharp. Playing on that right wing, he's clearly quite left-footed. That's sort of the foot that he looks to do the damage with. Was in the lead-up to Norwich taking the lead, it was him linking nicely with Max Aarons, and then he took the corner, which a handball was conceded from when Norwich went 2-1 up. I thought Grant Hanley looked like he lost a bit of timber as well, like that he's looking in good shape, like he's obviously worked hard ahead of pre-season, that he can't have been happy with the way his season went last year. And of course we've got Christoph Zimmermann, fresh from one of the many new contracts signed this summer, but he's going to miss all of pre-season after a minor knee injury. This is a huge opportunity for Grant if he wants to be a Premier League player. At what age is he now? About 27, I think. Grant is. He is the captain. I thought he looked quite decent.
Yeah, I mean, you've hit the nail completely on the head. As much as, particularly now, magnified by Ben Godfrey going off with his injury, there's a negativity around Norwich and centre backs at the minute because, well, two of them potentially will miss the start of the Premier League season. Zimmermann definitely will. Tim Closer, Daniel revealed after the game, yet to rejoin team training. I think they were hoping maybe Tuesday, Wednesday onwards, but still not going to feature on this tour. I don't think it might be Brentford, and when they get back to Colney next week before we see him. So in that context, Hanley must be sensing a real opportunity, and he would have come back highly motivated anyway. There was all that speculation that maybe his former club Blackburn would be keen to take him, and by all accounts he's made it clear to the hierarchy in Norwich that no, he wants to stay and he wants to be part of this Premier League crusade. And after a really injury disrupted season that he had last season, yeah, he won't lack for motivation, and yeah, you could probably see that in his performance. I think he looked keen to lay down a marker, didn't he? And He will certainly get more opportunities between now and the start of the season, because they're looking a little bit depleted in that area, to put it mildly.
He was really vocal. I like that. That's one of the things I quite like about pre-season. You can hear all the screams and shouts from the pitch, can't you? You can really take all that in. He had to be partnered by Jamal Lewis for about an hour of that game, which, you know, isn't Jamal's position. And the opening goal was Jamal's fault as well, wasn't it? It was a poor pass sort of across the back line that he probably wouldn't normally be playing from a left-back position. Paul, anyone caught your eye in particular?
I would say Roberts was the first one. I'd definitely back that up. He looked hungry. He looked keen, chasing down lost causes. I thought goalkeeper looked solid as well. Ralph, I think, looked solid. Didn't have an awful lot to do. Couldn't fault him for either of the goals at all, really. He had no chance. Yeah. Made a couple of decent saves, one earlier on from a shot from the left-hand side of the box. I thought he looked good, yeah. Lewis looked good. Aaron's, I thought, they always look good to me anyway, those two. So
Max is so consistent, isn't he? I mean, although I did say for the second goal, there was a lot of space in front of him, wasn't there? The second half was a bit weird. I mean, they had a session in the morning, didn't they? They trained in the morning, which is a common thing during this stage of pre-season. And I thought Tribal and McLean didn't offer that sort of protection you'd expect in a league game at all, really. That was a little bit strange. But we were saying, actually, that pre-season, it's kind of similar for us, isn't it? Even on a reporting level, which is obviously far easier than going out and playing professional football, you feel a bit rusty when you've not done it for a couple of months. I mean, was it the Nations League your last game?
The Nations League final was my last game, yeah. I mean, it's only 3 or 4 weeks ago, but it's the first time I've had a pre-season break in 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Because last year, obviously, I was at the World Cup, came straight to Germany, so I've had 3 or 4 weeks off. And the Nations League, to be fair, was a fairly laid-back occasion, so didn't have the intense. The last intense game was the Champions League final.
Yeah.
So the Nations League, well, that was a big competition. It just had a slightly different feel to anything I've ever done before. So, yeah, 2 or 3 weeks off, had a bit of holiday with the family, and, yeah, I felt a little bit rusty yesterday as well. It's a strange one, but, you know, I'm quite glad it was a competitive game, because that sort of snaps you back to life. Sometimes pre-season friendlies go along that route where they're just knocking it about, or they're playing a local side, and it's 2-0, 3-0, 6-0, 8-0. It all can be a bit tedious, but yesterday was a bit competitive. It's like, oh, this is quite good. It got me interest straight away, you know.
After, 15 minutes, you're like, oh, we've got an injury. Right, you got to switch on. This isn't just a kick
story
about.
The story came out straight away. As soon as poor Louis went off, it's like, well, that's a story. And then the story was doubled because, obviously, Ben went off shortly after. And it's like, oh, well, this is what the talk's going to be about for the next 2 or 3 days. So, yeah, from my point of view, at least I've got some pictures out of a pre-season friendly that is a story. And you guys can write about it. And, you know, it's obviously a big interest now in Norfolk and around Norwich. That, you know, especially Ben, is he going to be... How bad is he hurt? Is he going to make it? So, yeah, from that point of view, it's unfortunate. But, yeah, there was things coming out of that you wouldn't normally see out of a pre-season friendly. So, yeah, nice way to get back into it.
Did you do the third place game at Nations League, the England shootout game?
Yeah, I did the England shootout game in Gomeres and then shot over to Porto and did the final as well. So
in a nice link, you saw Josip Dermić miss the decisive penalty for Switzerland.
Oh, it is,
which was saved by Pickford, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I've got a great picture of that save, well. So,
and there... He's straight back in. He's probably really pleased. Pad, what did you?
His last two penalties.
Absolutely, you have to send them to him. But what do you make of him overall, Pad? I mean, obviously a penalty taker, something Norwich could do with.
Yeah.
I thought maybe he wasn't quite as mobile as Pukki, but there were some good signs.
But again, like all of these, it's very hard to make definitive judgments after you know what we've seen so far. And although he did feature for Switzerland, I think they were just cameos from the bench in those games. And prior to that, he'd had a very heavily disrupted season at Mönchengladbach, hadn't he? I think he only came back in for the last 5 or 6 games. So, and that's been a bit of a theme for that guy for the last 2 or 3 years in Germany, which is probably why he was available on a free transfer. You know, his star has dipped from, I think, Leverkusen, it was, paid some big money for him, you know, 10, 12 million euro, reportedly. So, in his earlier days, that alone tells you there's a player there of ability, a striker who can score goals. The big key is, can that translate now after 2 sort of years where his career's plateaued a little bit, and can almost Norwich and Daniel reignite what clearly is a player with some ability? I thought there was 1 or 2 signs. There was a nice move where he had his back to goal, he held off the defender about 10 minutes in, swivelled and hit a shot, and it wasn't that far away. And obviously the penalty, he showed a lot of composure there. But I think we'll need to see more of him, and he'll need more time on the pitch with his teammates. But, you know, I would be I'll be reasonably encouraged because obviously, you know, the nature of the deal, free transfer, as was Pukki. I don't think any of us expect him to have quite the impact Teemu Pukki has had in a Norwich shirt. But, you know, if he can chip in and around the main man, then it might prove to be another astute bit of business.
We'll have to see. We saw Adam Ida as well. Dennis Trebeny scores one goal. There were some encouraging signs from him. I mean, he's got a sort of slightly clumsy style, hasn't he? But when he gets on the run, he can be quite... He probably scares defenders. And he's got a decent bit of size as well. And that's something Ida's got as well. In terms of him stepping up to first team, he's big enough for it. He can handle that side of things. And there was one save from Stiepermann, which was a really good save, actually, from Ortega, the goalkeeper. And Ida slid in at the back post, didn't quite beat the keeper to it. That would have been a nice moment. And then equally, in the closing minutes, when Pukki had hit the post, Ida, rather than snatching at it and trying to get a shot in on goal when there was a defender in front of him, which you wouldn't blame an 18-year-old on his basically first senior appearance for, he calmly rolled it to Stiepermann. Stiepermann probably should have won it right at the death, shouldn't he? So that's going to be interesting to see how that all unfolds. Aside from all the injury stuff we've already talked about, there's more, isn't there, Pad? Tetti, Campwell and Vrančić. Yeah, they've all got little issues, haven't they?
Yeah. Or of the three, it sounds like none of them were involved on Sunday, as was Tim Closer. Tim Closer was there. And basically to run through them all, Tim, as I say, all of last season, second part of at least, he had this sort of knee issue. I don't know if you'd call it a problem or an injury because he seemed to be able to be declaring himself fit and he was making squads. But then I think he was on standby for the Swiss, going back to the Nations League in the summer and decided not to go off with them to try and get it sorted once and for all. I think there was some work he did in Switzerland with a doctor, I vaguely recall seeing on his Instagram pages. Then he went off to the US, continuously working to strengthen that knee, but it's still not quite right because, you know, Daniel confirmed after yesterday's game that he's not rejoined team training yet. So that has to be a concern, that it's got to this stage now and he's still not fully over whatever knee issues he's got. Just popping back into my head that when he went to Switzerland, it was, I think, to decide whether he needed surgery, wasn't it? It was after the Brentford game in January, if I recall right. And we got the good news that he didn't need surgery. But, you know, if managing the issue isn't resolving it, then, you know, is that something that'll have to be revisited? Time will tell. But as for the other guys, yeah, just the strains and the niggles you get when you're doing double sessions and back-to-back work. I mean, Daniel said they'd been at it 21 days straight without a day off. So, you know, it's no wonder Alex Tete's body might have shown a bit of wear and tear. And of the three, it sounded like he was the more serious one. It sounded like Mario and Todd will be back in training next day or two. And hopefully, if they are, then we might see him against Schalke. Alex, I think that might be a little bit longer. He didn't really elaborate too further other than to say that he'd had a bit of a setback in the last two or three days. He was going off to get some scans and they were waiting for the results of those. So we'll see on Alex Tete. But the others, I think, hopefully, middle of the week onwards, they should be back in the mix.
Okay, let's just take a quick breather. I spoke to Kenny McLean after the game, and here's what Kenny had to say.
Yeah, how do you guys see that then? That was an eventful game to start with, so I suppose it's a good tune-up, is it?
Yeah, it was tough. We knew it was going to be a tough game. They're a couple of weeks away from starting the season, so their fitness is probably ahead of where we are right now in our pre-season, but it's a good base for us. It was a tough game, and it'll stand us in good stead for going forward.
Okay, it's intense. So you did training this morning, didn't you, as well, before this?
Yeah, so. We trained this morning. We've been putting a lot of load through the legs, so it was always going to be tough. But that's what we want to build up, that resilience, you know, when it's tough. Most of the boys played 45, but it was a tough game. But as I say, it's good to get minutes in the legs, and it's a first game, so it's always going to be a wee bit rusty at times, but, you know, we're only going to get better from here.
Yeah, we saw the defenders being able to go in the box for the first time. I thought that was quite interesting. How do you sort of see that dynamic? Is it going to be something you've got to pay real attention to and work on?
Yeah, we work on it. We always do. We always work on things like goal kicks and stuff like that and playing from the back. It's always the way we've done that, and the way the manager is, we'll never change. It's his philosophy, and we all enjoy that. We all love playing that way, and it's just good to be involved in. So, yeah, it's a slight change, but it's something we'll adapt to.
You personally, you had a couple of games with Scotland, didn't you? So how are you feeling? You feel like you're already sort of up to speed quite quickly?
Well, I had a break after that as well, so I'm in a similar position to the rest of the guys. It's it was a lot. It was a longer break than usual, so it's going to take us a wee bit longer to get going, I think. But we've had a really good 2 weeks. We've had plenty load through the legs, and you know that was the first game. And you know, you just want to keep progressing through pre-season. I'm sure that's what we'll do.
And how's the camp been? The new boys all singing their songs and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's great. They've settled in really well. But I think when you look at the players that came in, you know, the manager should always identify characters as well who fit the way we play and the way we are as a group. So, you know, it's been easy for them to adapt. It's been easy for us to get to know them, but everything's good.
Just a word for the fans as well. I mean, over 2,500, obviously not all Norwich fans, but there's a good, 100 Norwich fans there. That's a heck of a show, isn't it?
Yeah, they made themselves heard. It was nice. Obviously, they want to get back out watching us again. It's been a long time for them, I'm sure, and they'll be looking forward to the season starting. And well, it's excellent for them to come out here, so you know we really appreciate that.
Just finally, Schalke on Friday. I'd imagine that'll be a difficult game, Bundesliga team. We saw with these boys, obviously they were up to speed a bit because they'd already played 3 games. So how tough do you expect that to be?
Again, it'll be a tough game, but we want to get ourselves ready for what's coming up for the season. So we want to play tough games. It's going to be another one. We'll get more work in through the week, and you know we'll be in a good place for then.
So those were the thoughts of the Lord Mayor of Norwich, of course, who I spoke to about 10 days ago or so ago in Norwich at the launch of the kit, which I'm sure you've had a chance to take in by now. I think I quite like it. I preferred last year's. I've gone down this route now, so I'm going to finish it and get your thoughts. I think it's all right. I preferred last year's one, and actually, having seen some of our photos when they're cropped without the green fade in, I think it looks a tad boring. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh.
What's the man who takes a lot of pictures of a lot of Norwich kit, I think?
I'm just checking around to have a look. I mean, obviously, I saw it yesterday. Yeah, I like it. I'm not a big fan of the fading. Man United, didn't I? I think they started the fading.
It's quite a lot, I think, now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of it. And I've got to be honest, I don't like the huge logo on the left sleeve.
Yeah, that's not been...
That's a huge logo. It's a little bit unsubtle, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We won't mention them.
That's the sleeve sponsor.
Other logos are available. Yeah, the one they're using, yeah, it takes up too much of the... you know, it's not like a Formula One shirt, you know, there's more sponsors than there is shirt. You know, it's a smart kit. Looking forward to the release of the other ones. I particularly like all three last year, actually. I liked all three kits last year, so they're my favourite.
I think it's been met pretty positively on the whole, hasn't it? I quite like it, but I just think I preferred last year's one. It's all right. Pad, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I'd concur with you, mate, just because of the connotations now with that kit, what they achieved, and you never know, they might go on to do something nice in this kit as well. But yeah, it's not sky blue, Dave, so it's immaterial to me either way, mate, truth be told.
Well, we won't go on to betting sponsors and down that alleyway. There's been plenty said about that. We are here for the rest of the week. Fortunately for us, we're hopefully going to be catching up properly with the City camp at some point midweek. We're hoping to do a bit of stuff with the under-23s as well, learn a bit more about the new lads who are going to be involved in the development squad this year, because that's... as I'm sure you'll have noticed from the several transfer lines, a squad which is under massive overhaul by Norwich. They're really looking to drag the levels of quality up in the under-23 squad this year. I think they found last year that maybe their players weren't as in demand for loans as they'd have hoped, so they're hoping that they can bring in players now that they can get out on loans to good levels. Rocky Bashiri is probably an example. He was playing regularly in the Belgium top flight last year. He's a Belgium under-21 international, so he's clearly got something about him. Then we move on to the Schalke game on Friday night. Bundesliga opposition, who were playing in the Champions League last year, so that's clearly going to step things up. But moving on from the injury side of things, Pad, clearly the defence is going to need a little bit of attention now, isn't it? And Louis Thompson playing right back, if we start at right back, emphasises the fact that cover is needed for Max Aarons, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, 100% agree. And I felt that, well, really, since the moment Ivo Pinto was departed, that they needed to, not with the greatest respect to Louis, you know, fitness issues aside, if he was fully fit, you know, would you be comfortable with him almost emergency shifting to right back? And Daniel would talk about Ben Godfrey can do that as well. And you know, if you play in a wings back role, that maybe opens up other options as well. But it just doesn't feel that, contrasted with the left hand side, they've brought Heiser in now, who is an out and out, and we saw a good portion of that game with him yesterday. He's an out and out left sided defensive option. So you would feel Jamal Lewis is covered there now. That isn't replicated on the right so far in this squad. I don't think there's anybody immediately ready to pop out of the development pool, having just led on from a discussion about David Wright's squad. So, yeah, that feels like an area that needs addressing. And obviously now we await the outcomes of Godfrey, but if it is, he's not going to be with us for a few weeks of the Premier League season, they definitely need to do something in that area as well.
Yeah, with Zimmerman not out until, well, he's not going to be available for the start of the Premier League season. Hopefully Closer, well, we know Closer's not going to be involved in the Schalke game as things stand, so have to wait on him. Godfrey, you know, with ankles, sadly, I'm somebody who knows I've sprained both my ankles before, and the swelling can be pretty bad the first couple of days, and they can blow up and turn all sorts of colours and stuff. And it's not until things settle down, obviously he's going to get top level medical treatment that I didn't get from when I did mine in the mud at Eaton Park playing Sunday League. But I'd imagine it will all settle down a little bit quicker for him, but it's not until that happens that they can really crack on with analysing it. And we did just mention Philip Heiser, and he's sort of like a new boy, really, isn't he? Because we've not seen him. You had quite an interesting analogy of him, Paul. He's a bit like a Stieperman on the left.
Yeah, he looks, he's got the same sort of stamp as Stieperman. Looks, I don't know, maybe not slightly awkward style that Stieperman's got. Once Heiser's got the ball at his feet, a bit like Stieperman, be hard to stop.
Yeah,
but to be honest, I didn't see an awful lot of him. He seemed to have a good touch.
Yeah,
I didn't see many passes go astray from him. But yeah, he seemed to have a bit of a Stieperman stamp and style about him. So, yeah,
you're going to bounce off him. He's got big shoulders.
Yeah, he's
isn't
a big lad. Yeah, he's going to bounce off. He's got a bit like Stieperman. Once he gets head of steam going, there's no stopping him.
And he's clearly confident with his left foot. He took a free kick from fully 25 yards, didn't he? And yeah, wasn't on target. It was sort of just over the top right corner, but that had a decent bit of whip on it, and he played a couple of crossfield balls. So
had a few seconds debate with Emmy about that as well, didn't they? Two of them were standing there discussing who was taking it. So, yeah, he's obviously going to put himself forward for any free kick. So, it's confidence.
Todd Cantwell was sat in front of us, wasn't he? Just watching because he was injured, and he seemed to give the thumbs up to Heiser having a decent left foot, didn't he? So maybe that's one to watch. But of course, we probably expect Jamal Lewis to continue in that role. Midfield-wise, I think we can probably skip over that. We're not really expecting too much movement there. Maybe a defensive midfielder if they can find someone. Maybe another winger, but I don't think anything's too pressing there. Up front, as things stand, Ida and Srebeni sort of get their chance to press their claims. And there has been a little bit of news today, isn't there, from which website was it?
Team Talk,
that's right. Saying that Jordan Rhodes could be coming back on loan. What do you make of that, Pat?
I don't think that's likely, Dave. No, I think we're getting a sense from the club, having checked out that story, that there's nothing in that story. With the view being that I think they've got one more domestic loan they can use, Patrick Roberts being the other one they've already used, and they wouldn't be using it on Jordan Rhodes. I think that's pretty categorical now. So if Jordan Rhodes is coming back, then it'll have to be a permanent. And of course, what's muddied the waters further in the last sort of 24 hours, less than that, is Steve Bruce apparently walking out on Sheffield Wednesday to potentially pitch up at Newcastle. So if that has gone through, then the new man at the Owls, will, I'm sure the first thing they'd want to do is look through the existing squad and who they want to keep and who they don't. So, certainly nothing in those reports in terms of a loan move being imminent, but I think it's pretty far-fetched to think he'll probably come because the numbers financially that have been talked around him are just do not stack up. And Stuart Webber made that quite clear earlier in the summer. You know, they've got a finite amount of money and they're going to have to spend it very wisely and very astutely. And I don't think, with the greatest respect to Jordan Rhodes, based on what we saw last season, you've got Timu Pukki there as the main man. Unless they're going to start radically changing how they play and how many forwards they have in the side, then do you pay what's required to get Jordan Rhodes here to be, you know, basically a good egg around the dressing room? And I don't think you do.
Personally, no. I mean, I like Jordan Rhodes, and he's obviously a very nice guy, and I have interviewed him a couple of times last season. I was alongside Chris Gorham speaking to him when he came out with that now infamous "It don't matter" line that Radio Norfolk do enjoy. And he's a lovely chap. I remember speaking to him in Tampa as well, and that was just after the Millwall game, wasn't it? After the 4-3, and he scored the equaliser to make it 3-3. And I opened that interview with something along the lines of course, team who's taken all the headlines, but your goal was very important. And that was a similar sort of response of, oh, thank you very much. And then he cracks on. He's a lovely bloke. But in terms of style, he's not the same player as Pukki. I didn't think he was a light-for-light replacement for Pukki. Yeah. Maybe that's what you want. Maybe you want someone who's a little bit different. But I don't think he's a Premier League player, personally. And just because someone's nice, I don't think that means that you should bring them back into the squad. Dermot is an international striker who's, you know, was once third top scorer in the Bundesliga behind Lewandowski and Mandzukic in one season. And that was, what, 2014? So, you know, come on, there are levels of difference here. If Norwich were still in the Championship, absolutely, I'd have said you bring him back, but not for the Premier League. Paul, where do you stand on Jordan?
I agree 100% with what you said. If he was here, Rhodes or Sabeni, who would you have?
Yeah, I mean,
you see, I mean, if he was here and always in place, or you got him really cheap. I mean, I like Dennis; he tries hard, but he hasn't really proved himself as a goal scorer in England at any level, has he? At least Jordan, he's a bit of a sniffer around the box, isn't he? As opposed to Pukki, can score from all angles. I always like Rhodes is a poacher, isn't he? If that loose ball, you want that loose ball to fall to Rhodes.
Yeah.
So, if based on experience, if you could get Rhodes really, really cheap, which obviously Sheffield Wednesday are not going to let him go cheap, and his wages ain't cheap, then yeah, I'd have him over Sabeni every day of the week. But not, as you say, not to be a nice guy around the dressing room and keep the spirit up and play cameo roles. I think they need to look wider and bigger than that, to be honest with you. That's my thoughts anyway.
I mean, if he was available on a free, for instance, this summer, yeah, it's totally, sort of a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
with the finances involved, it's just not quite for me, which I feel sort of harsh saying it because he's a nice guy and yeah, he is popular and he deserves to be popular. He did contribute a fair amount to last season. I think that hat-trick at Wickham maybe it sort of bumped up his stats a little bit falsely to an extent. But, you know, we'll see. We're still early doors here. We're still, you know, mid-July. The transfer deadline's August the 8th, the day before we all head up to Anfield for that opening game of the Premier League season. Plenty could change. You know, Dermot could pull up with an injury. Sabeni looked like he did limp off a little bit at half-time on Sunday. Adam Ida could get a couple of opportunities and look totally out of his depth. You never know. Jordan may still be the man that they turn to late in the window. But as things stand today, it doesn't look too likely to me. So.
I am looking forward to seeing Adam, though, in a really competitive role. Yeah, I saw him last year out here with the 23s, isn't it, Pat? I think he was out with the 23s. Yeah. And also photographed him playing for Ireland in the under-17s championship as well. And he looks a beast of a player. Yeah. He's a strong lad, very competitive, very aggressive. I don't think he'll be scared of your big name Premier League defenders, certainly not physically, stature. Mm. I'm looking forward. I think he can mix it up, is basically what I'm saying. He's a strong unit. Whether he's ready yet, who knows? But, you know, give him a chance, yeah. I say. I like the lads being brought through. So, and he's certainly physically capable of mixing it with anybody I've seen in the Premier League, that's for sure.
Thinking about it, he probably does have a bit of a similar style to Rhodes in a way. I mean, he's only 18, though, as he's just signed this long-term contract. So if things don't work out for him at this point, then, of course, the loan avenue is still very much available to him. If I was him, though, I'd be watching Pukki all the time. I'd be, you know, every day watching a Pukki game every single day, just so that Daniel Farke knows that you're a man who can come in and replace him. So that is going to be an interesting side of seeing, you know, how things develop. Otherwise, we move on to Schalke. I guess we can probably pretty much pick the team at the moment because there's a few injury issues, but that's going to be a tough one. I guess Ralf Farman, presuming that he can play, they may have come to some kind of agreement that he doesn't play in that game, but you wouldn't have thought so in a friendly. He'll be wanting to impress his parent club because they did actually activate another year in his contract when he joined Norwich, didn't he? So they've now got David Wagner, the former Huddersfield boss. What sort of things are you going to be looking out for in that Schalke game, Pad?
No injuries, that's the main yeah, thing. I suppose it'll be interesting, you know, even if it's positive news on Godfrey, he's not going to play Friday. That would be foolish in the extreme. So, and if Closer isn't available, what is the defensive mix look like? You know, because does he have to dip in? The 23s are out here. Does he actually, for this game, have to maybe bring two of those lads into the mix? Or does he, as he finished the game on Sunday, go with the three and the two wing-backs? But even then, who would be your three?
Yeah, because Hernandez ended up playing right wing-back on Sunday,
yeah,
didn't he?
So I think for me, it's just more, if there are injuries, just how he sets about the task. And, you know, other than that, I guess it's seeing a little bit more from Dermich and Roberts, but particularly Dermich against what should be really good opposition, probably the... you know, the strongest they're going to face. I'm trying to think who they've got when they go back to England. Yeah, probably. Yeah, maybe Atalanta at the back end. Yeah, because they're obviously in the Champions League, aren't they? So, you know, this could. And again, you could debate whether a second pre-season game in is the time to be playing a decent Bundesliga opposition. But, you know, ultimately that's the schedule they've mapped out. So, yeah, I think it's more what he does defensively and who steps up in terms of, you know, those new players, because if one of hopefully maybe all three, but if one of them really comes in and can add to that 11, then, you know, that looks like good recruitment, because at the minute we're not quite sure. There's sort of flaws you could associate with all three players, really, in terms of what they've done recently in their careers. So, you know, there's an element of gamble to all three deals. So it'd be just nice to see maybe a little bit more evidence against a really good benchmark in Schalke of, yeah, okay, that looks like good recruitment as well.
Yeah, players are going to have to step up, aren't they? I think if Alex Tetti is fit, I think Daniel will probably look to try and play him in defence, but that's probably not likely as we sit here today, isn't it? But we'll see. It's still very early days in pre-season. You can never read too much into it, or it's foolish to anyway. You know, we've got another 5 games still to play yet before we can even start thinking about that Liverpool game. So please do follow all the stuff that we're doing from out here in Germany throughout the week. We've got plenty on the way before we head back to the UK on Saturday, hopefully, all being well, as long as I haven't ended up sharing my Airbnb with a couple of random Germans or something. but no, I'm hoping that on that front we're sorted now and I can actually rest easy in my bed at night. But otherwise, thank you very much for listening today, and keep an eye on the Pinken app as well. We've got a few things lined up for there. We're going to go and record the Pinken podcast Extra Time in a special location in just a minute, so head over to the app after you've had a listen to this when you get a chance. And we will probably catch up with you with a podcast when we're back in England, and we'll have plenty more to talk about from then. So Paul, Pad, thanks very much for joining me, and we will catch up with you guys later. Cheers.